The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, to critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue to close out chapter 36 this evening, where we're in the begin the analysis of verses 40 through 43. All right, as is our practice, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that God the Holy Spirit has his rightful place of rulership over the real you. That is, you are filled with God the Holy Spirit. In this way, experientially, we're able to bypass the influence of the sin nature and distort into truth of doctrine and gap these things clearly, purely, as so designed. And in this way, advance ourselves in our thinking, not letting human viewpoint come in and become the evil that disrupts us in regards to our Christian life otherwise. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start from a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Moses here closes out chapter 36 with a supplemental list of Edomite chiefs. After having gone through the entire chapter and looking at the details of how things are presented in the chapter, I am under the impression that the entire genealogy of the Edomites as well as the Horites are designed to fill in the gap between the only time I ever look at him, I die. Testing. Hello, world. All right. Again, as I was stating, it is my impression that the Edomite and Horite genealogy is designed to fill in the gap chronologically between Genesis 35:27, when Jacob returned to Isaac. And then shortly afterwards, Esau moves to Seir to establish his residence on a permanent basis, to the end of the Exodus generation, still during the time of Moses in 1406 B.C. I know that there are those who tend to want to spread out the rule of the kings and things of this nature throughout history, but I see no reason to. And the way I approach the scripture, if there is no reason to change it other than what it is shown in regards to the original content, then don't. So we know from other passages that Moses addressed the king of Edom to seek passage by the Exodus to their land, which they were more than less or less than politely refused, and that there were Edomite chiefs still reigning during this time in correlation with the rule of Edomite kings, which that dominion of rule was elective, not dynastic. In other words, it was not kings that came from the primogeniters or heirs of earlier kings, but they were obviously picked from different tribes and different areas and different locations for their governed amount of time. And you can fit in all the kings within a couple of centuries of ruling in that respect. You would expect that the terms would not be set up to carry on forever. And at the death of the kings, obviously, the rule would move on to somebody else as they were elected. And the fact that we know that there was Edomite kings at this point in time, and Moses closes out the chapter here with these Edomite chiefs in a supplemental list, gives us purpose for why this list exists. And that is, under my contention again, is that these are the chiefs that were ruling during the time of Moses, along with the final king that we saw in verse 39, Hadar, of which there is no mention of his death within the list of kings, where all the other kings, we see that they died. So it gives you a sequential appointment of rule. Rule, death, rule, death, rule, death, rule, no death. Why is that? And at least my proposition, my supposition, if you will, explains that. So I've titled verses 40 through 43 here, the Edomite chiefs during the time of Moses. Rereading the verses here. Now these are the names of the chiefs descended again from Esau, according to their families and their localities, their places, by means of their names: Chief Timnah, Chief Alva, Chief Jetheth. Verse 41, Chief Oholibamah, name used either for male or female. Chief Elah, Chief Pinyon. Verse 42, Chief Kenez, Chief Teman, Chief Mibzar. 43, Chief Magdiel, Chief Aram. These are the chiefs of Edom, according to their habitation and land of their possession, that being Esau, the father of the Edomites, which ends the Hebrew sentence in that regard. So the analysis here of verses 40 through 43. Again, how Moses presents this, you start learning how he utilizes grammar, the reference to the chiefs descending from Esau, bracketing the list itself. And all this tends to show you bookends chronologically that's designed to fit within these genealogies. But anyway, 1, Deuteronomy 2:22 records that the Edomites still inhabited the land of Edom during the Exodus. Again, Deuteronomy 2:22. Just as he did for the sons of Esau who live in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them, in regards to Jews' wanderings in the wilderness. God destroys the peoples for them to settle their land, and they dispossess them and settle in their place even to this day. Even to this day brings all the history that we have studied up to that point in time in history during the time of Moses. So 2, this gives purpose then for a second recording of Edomite chiefs descended from Esau supplementing the list presented in verse 15 through 19 in that respect. Three, it forwards the chronology from Esau's relocation to Seir to when the first list obviously became a reality and chiefs began to take their place, to the time of Moses, paralleling the time of the Edomite king with no recorded death in verse 39, as I've explained. Four, this final list comprises the ruling chiefs, or Hebrew aluf, which really means rulers of thousands. Again, these were not just these small nomadic tribes as they're often pictured by historians otherwise. They ruled over a large segment of population. So the final list, this final list comprises the ruling chiefs during the era of Moses and the Exodus from Egypt. That then gives sense to this list existing. Otherwise, what's it all about? Is it just for historical validation? I think it's deeper than that. Anyway. So five, now these verses also confirm that the Confederate rulership of chiefs coincided with the singular monarchy established during this period in the preceding verses, the kings of Edom, in verses 31 through 39. Now, conservative commentaries recognize at least that part of it, that they coexisted in rule with the kings as they were listed. So you have a national confederacy made up of the Edomite family that had a monarchy, parliamentary head, if you will, to which they all bound themselves to remain united as a peoples. So it's actually quite a brilliant move politically to help keep peace in the family and among one another and maintain a sense of stable goal for the nation overall. Not totally unlike our supposed republic with a presidency, federal head. But anyway, kings, you got to understand, kings can refer simply to the highest ruler at the time, whether it's a monarchy or whether it's a pharaoh. A pharaoh is referred to as a king, or other titles that are used in history. Emperor, Caesar. So the verses confirm that the Confederate rulership of chiefs, point five again, coincided with the singular monarchy established during this period in preceding verses 31 through 39. So six, now our author identifies these contemporary chiefs, contemporary with Moses, according to their families, their localities by their name, in quote, Lamed Mishpachah, Lamed Makom, place, Bet Shem by means of name. Seven, in other words, they had assumed rule via their familial rights by family and by name, see, and locality. Hence, the rights of primogeniture is highly suggested as being maintained in the Edomite lineage. So, in other words, they had assumed role via their familial rights of primogeniture, having authority over those occupying their governed territory, whatever land that they seized as was parted out in their conquering of the Horites and as they displaced them. So while the monarchical system was elected, as we brought out in verses 31 through 39, the Confederate leadership remained dynastic by family lineage, from father to son, to son to son, etc., as long as their family might reign. So 9, now verse 43, says that their territories were, quote, their habitations in the land of their possession. It's restated, their localities is restated as habitations in the land of their possession. That is Moshav, the residents, habitations, Bet Eretz, Akuza in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew akuza, which is translated possession, is from the root akaz, A-C-H-A-Z. That means, quote, to take hold of, seize, or grasp, end quote. Alluding to how the Edomites came into possession of their land, i.e. through the overthrow of the Horites. They seized it. They took it by force. Whether it's tongue-in-cheek humor or simply a sense of irony that is being shown by Moses, take your pick. But either way, it alludes to that very fact that this land, as land often is a